I'm Ben.
And I'm Sarah.
And you're listening to
What's New?
Nancy Drew.
Come get a clue.
Boop, boop, a doo.
As always, we are sponsored by Fandom Limb Media. So check it out to hear some pop culture podcasts at fandomlimb.com.
Here on What's New, Nancy Drew, we recap the latest episodes of the Nancy Drew TV show starring Kennedy McMahon. This week, we're going to be talking about season 4, episode 8, The Crooked Bannister.
Thud.
All right, we're back. I am actually Ben.
And I'm actually Sarah.
Did we say the correct wrong names, or did I actually say Ben at the beginning? I blacked out.
Is that the right names? I don't know.
Anyways, we tried a little switcheroo for you. Hope you have watched the recent episode of Nancy, or you'll be extremely confused. We are, we're talking about the Crooked Bannister, as Sarah pointed out. Sarah, initial thoughts on this episode?
I loved it. This was so good.
The season's getting better and better. I keep being like, this is my favorite episode of the season. No, this is my favorite episode of this season. Mm-hmm. Bold statement. This is one of my favorites of this series.
Yeah, I think so too.
Strong, strong, strong. Strong like Nick's biceps.
Oh my gosh. That's what is that? CrossFit? Is that what he's doing now?
Yep. All right, let's dive into this and try our best to keep everything straight.
Ooh, it's going to be hard.
I'm looking forward to the confusion, actually. So we start in the middle of the day. Nancy has her black beanie on and she's run into Rand's car from town hall.
We hear an alarm going off in the background. She's saying there's no black door. She had to break in the town hall.
A little. She broke in a little.
Just a little, yeah. But the alarms are blaring, and she's like, start the car, start the car.
So my immediate thought was she looking for literal doors that are the color black? Because we're talking about some mythical stuff. Like, I'm picturing the black door to be something other than a literal black door. But she just looking for black doors.
I completely agree. That's what I was thinking, too.
With that being said, I took it for face value that it is not there, and we're moving on to the next thing.
Yes.
Which is the murder board.
Yeah, Ryan gets her out of there and she's going over the murder board at Icarus Hall, giving us another little recap of how do we find the black door when it's not at Town Hall.
The weekly monster mystery exposition.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I wonder if one of the critiques that the network gave was that the mystery is too confusing and so that they are being so blatantly recapping in every episode.
Possibly. I love the blatant recap. It is helpful and it is comical at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And it's quick. And it's getting shorter each episode.
Yeah.
While things are actually getting longer. Mm-hmm. Like there's more to say, but they're doing it quicker.
Yeah. Carson calls Nancy as she's holding a picture of her and her mom and dad. And we find out this is the 1 year anniversary of her mom passing, her mom, Kate Drew.
And I'm immediately concerned because I'm like, oh, this is a heavy topic we're about to cover.
Mm-hmm.
Carson calls her to see how she's feeling and he's looking at the same picture.
Yeah.
Really cute. You see the reflection in the glass.
And he wants to celebrate Kate in the way that she liked to do it. She liked to have parties. She loved it when the house was full of people. Nancy doesn't want to do that because she doesn't want people's pity on top of her sadness. But she still wants to mark the anniversary with him. So she's still planning on going over there tonight.
He's understandably disappointed, but I really like that she wanted to at least spend the day with him and she's not just locking herself away. She's like, well, we can do something, but a party isn't really the vibe I want. And you see the disappointment in his face.
So that shot of him after she hangs up the phone to talk to Ryan and Carson is just standing alone, all the lights off in that dark house. I was like, oh my God.
Heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And real.
Yeah.
And a sign of what's to come in this episode, and I was not prepared.
Yep.
So we have dad number two showing up, asking very sweetly if she was talking to dad number one. Their mm-hmm. dynamic is adorable.
Yes. And he says that he has a Welsh relic that Bess suggested that he track down as a companion piece to the roundel. And so Nancy's excited, and she says she's going to send a group text to everyone to meet at the Claw. And he's like, whoa, are you sure you want to do this today? You can take today off. And she's like, no, let's do this. And please don't tell anyone what today is.
Yeah, she doesn't even consider it. She just sends it immediately.
So then we see the text messages. Who do you think named the crew? because we're seeing it on Ace's phone.
Yeah.
So it could have been him.
It could have been any of them.
Yeah.
I feel like it was like Nick or George. I don't know. It just feels like a Nick thing to me. Because it rhymes with Drew, but Nancy wouldn't do that, I don't think. Bess's right. would have been something adorable.
Mm-hmm.
So
it would have like hearts or something with it too.
Yeah. I wonder what George's would have. Yeah, I'm leaning towards Nick, possibly George. What do you think?
I could see Ace or Nick. I think George would name it like Claw something because at one point they all, well, I guess, no, all of them did work at the Claw.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was like her work group.
It'd be like the help.
Yeah. It's like, George, you know we can see what you name us.
Yeah, very that. But I thought it was cool that the last messages you see on there were from the previous episode where they're talking about Ron and getting the feather from Darlene and Bree and everything. And then Nancy's that pops up right now says, meet at Claw ASAP. I'm like, girl, you ain't got no tact. If I saw that, I'm sure they're all used to this from her because
yeah.
they deal with her. But I'd be like, can we get a little bit of an idea of what we're meeting for? Because the urgency would leave for me every time she sent something like that.
Well, yeah, it's because you don't know if it's going to be, hey, I am possessed by something, or, hey, we're out of napkins at the Claw or something. Yeah.
You know,
she wouldn't text about that, though.
Napkins. No, that would be George.
Yeah.
A smiley face after ASAP or a frowny face after ASAP or an angry face.
Or just a little ghost emoji.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Well, that would be probably for all of their conversations.
Probably.
Anyways, it cuts over to Ace having a little outdoor little breakfast on the sidewalk with his dad, who we mm-hmm. haven't seen this season.
Yeah, I was very glad to see Captain Tom back.
Can we talk about how we're getting a lot of these recurring characters like once an episode? Like we had George's dad for an episode. We've had Connor one episode so far. Do you know what's wild about this season, Sarah, other than it being the last one?
What?
We've had Addie in one episode.
Oh, you're right.
Isn't that crazy?
Addie's only been in one. And Jean?
I think you're right. I think she's only been in the one with the tea set. And Temperance as Chunky has been in two now.
Well, that we have seen Chunky.
Seen in one. Yeah, mm-hmm. You're right. You're right. I just thought it was interesting. So this could be the last appearance of Ace's dad. But if it is, I think it was a wonderful wrap up to his yes. story with Ace.
Absolutely.
Very
agree.
Touching.
So the sign for Horseshoe Bagels where they are is fresh bagels and ice cream. And I was like, that's an odd combination. But then I was like, that is a wonderful combination.
I'd eat the crud out of that.
Yeah.
Nom, nom, nom.
I would eat everything there.
Yeah, because they do a lot of like waffles and ice cream. So I could see it with a bagel.
I don't know that I would eat them together. I would just, oh. I would have a breakfast sandwich and I would have a sundae.
I do an ice cream sandwich, but it's a bagel.
Hmm.
I would do it.
Okay.
There's so many flavors.
I believe that you would.
What if you had like a buttery ice cream?
Okay, well that could work.
There's
like a buttercream something.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. We can try it. We'll try it some episode. I did not get cake to smash in your face like I wanted to.
Oh, to celebrate this episode.
Yeah.
I would have eaten it.
I know.
I
would have had fun.
Very then... clear on keeping it out of my hair, but other than that, it'd be fine. All right. Ace and his dad are talking. He's asking about Nancy, and Ace, of course, does not want to talk about it. So then his dad, Tom, asks if he wants to go up for a fishing trip. Ace says no, and he thinks it's a trick to be forced to talk about his feelings.
And seems like that was exactly what it was planning to do.
Yeah. Ace, to me, is a little... He's not toxically masculine. We don't have that going on. He's a well-rounded, well-developed character. But he's a little less open, I feel, than, say, Nick, who's the other guy. I think Nick is very good about talking about things and mm-hmm. very open with himself. And Ace is a little more reserved, a little more typically masculine in some of the, like, stereotypes of, like, I'm not going to talk about my feelings. But maybe it's yeah. just because it's his parent.
Oh, no, I think he's like that. But I think Nancy's similar, too, that she doesn't like to open up.
They're more reserved.
Yeah, that's how I've read it.
And when he gets shot down, the dad's like, okay, well, I told your mom I would bring her some food. And he asked him to think about it.
And then we go over to the Claw, where Ace, Ryan, and Nancy are all arriving at the same time. And conveniently, Ryan gets a phone call where he steps away. So Ace and Nancy have to walk in together.
With the item that he's like, oh, I got this for Beth. Don't open it.
Yeah.
That's not going to be the thing of the episode.
Yeah, I know. I was like, yeah, sure. You're telling Nancy not to open it. And I'm sure she'll listen. And so inside the Claw, the sign on the door says opening late, ... Again, frowny face.
Loved it. I'm saddened and safe for inventory.
Yeah. Nick is practicing his council speech and wraps up with that he would be honored to serve on town council. Bess tells him he should use proud instead because he's grimslaying Nick. He should be confident.
I love, love, love his counter to that is honored is confident with a touch of humble.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a great line.
It is.
And I think it's true.
Yeah.
But please keep calling him Grimslaying Nick. I love the nickname.
Yes.
And I hope it comes up a few more times this season.
I hope so, too.
It's really cute and says a lot about this whole friend group and dynamics of sleuthing that they all listened to Nancy's text. They all showed up. Those three got there first. Who knows where they were at when they got the messages.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all, you know, going about their normal daily activities. I just thought it was cool that they're like, we're going to show up, but then we're going to tell you no.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like you said, they didn't know what they were showing up for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think for me, though, I'd be like, so I have this thing. Do I actually need to come? Mm-hmm. And they're just like, oh, yeah, we're here, but we're not going to stay.
Yeah.
George is texting and smiling. A guy from class named Cameron.
Do you think that name is a tribute to Cameron Johnson? Aww. One of the writers from Tom Swift and an episode of Nancy? I'm saying it is.
Let's say it is.
George describes him as very nice and smart and conventionally attractive, but is very much not interested in her.
Yeah, she doesn't think he's interested in her, but they're going to go over torts. What the hell is a tort in this context?
It is a law term.
Okay, I thought so.
I'm making that up, I'm assuming, because she's in law school.
But then don't they actually talk about food when they start the conversation about the torts later? They were talking about some nuts or something. I don't know. Okay.
So Nancy comes in and says there are no black doors in all of town hall. And so they need to regroup to figure out a new plan.
Yeah. Where is her hello? Where is her thank you for showing up? None of that.
Nope.
I could not with her.
Nope. Bess says that she can't help because she's meeting the Galley brothers from New Brunswick. One of them inherited the family curse of hearing the voices of the dead until he goes crazy. And I love that everyone is telling her not to do it. Like, they're like, you were banned yesterday from doing anything to have to do with the supernatural. And Nancy's like, okay, Bess is out. Like, she just accepts, no, Bess is going to do this. This is what Bess does.
Yeah, it was an interesting dynamic because those three are all being, you know, looking out for Bess. And Nancy, bullheaded like Bess, is like, we can't control her. But also, mm-hmm. It doesn't matter because I want to get back to what I want to talk about.
Yeah.
She's wild.
Yep. And Nick is out as well because he has to give a speech for the town council. Bess pipes in that George can't go either because she has a study date.
Yeah, so it's down to two, which yeah. That would have been awkward.
Yeah, and before it can get too awkward, Ace is already hard at work. He found an HBPD arrest report mentioning a black door. Jack Ray in 2002 murdered his coworker. And it's a bunch of stuff is redacted from there. But Ace's dad was the arresting officer.
How convenient. He's already been in this episode.
Very convenient. They don't have to pay him again.
No, the actor's right there.
Yeah.
So Bess, meanwhile, is nosing around and she opens the parcel from Ryan.
Which, to be fair, he picked it up for her.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't think she's at fault.
No.
Yeah.
No. It was for her.
Yeah.
But Nancy is, you know, a little slow on the don't open that. It's a weird pyramid thing and it opens up and I don't know why. It's like it's the first time I've ever watched an episode of anything. I gasped. I'm like, oh no, something bad's going to happen. I think I was just really invested in all of their plans for the day.
They all drop to the floor.
Ace like flies across the room. Did you watch that closely? They all fall. He like his body moves like a foot away from where it starts at.
I did not notice that. That's kind of funny.
He fell hard. If you ever watch this episode again with tissues nearby, he like flops. And I'm like, well, that was a stunt double.
Ryan comes in. He's like, okay, what'd I miss? And they are all laying on the floor. He immediately runs in Nancy asking if she's okay. And he's like, I told you not to open the box. And Ace replies that he didn't open it.
Oh my God. In that moment, so excited. I was like, we are getting another great sci-fi trope, which the show just leans right into. I love when they do trope episodes.
Yes.
And what kind of trope is it?
Body swap.
That they all say at the same time when they figure out that they have rearranged bodies. And I immediately was like, okay, I need to write down who's who.
So we got Nancy is in Ace's body. Ace is in Nancy's body.
Convenient.
Bess is in Nick's. Love him doing the British accent.
Oh my God.
Fantastic. George is in Bess's body. Very unhappy about her shoes. And Nick is in George's body.
So that all gets explained to us. Who were you the most excited for after the first couple of lines of seeing what they were going to bring to the table?
Bess and Nick's body.
Yeah. Everyone killed this episode, and we will obviously gush for the next 40 minutes. Mm-hmm. But Tunji smashed it.
Oh my God. So good.
You were like, he has the hardest task. And 100%, he's playing an effeminate, without being offensive, British accent person who is like the most helpful person and has all these little mannerisms.
Mm-hmm.
They all nail the mannerisms, but his are like, he's got like, it could have come off offensively of him just like flamboying it up, and he didn't do that. Like, he really is delicate. I think they all really took care of each other's beloved characters.
Yes. And from what I saw, Madison, who plays Bess, she acted as Bess so that he could watch, and then he would be able to mimic how she did it.
Ooh, so they did like line readings.
Yeah.
Okay.
So from what I saw, they had extra time like to prepare for this episode, and they were able to see that.
Oh, they all helped each other.
Yeah.
That's really cute.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to the specifics. Where are we at? Because I could just gush over these people all day long.
I know. I love that Nancy is like touching Ace's hair and like, oh, it's really on here. Because there have been so many times, like when she had the wedding dress, like that curse, that made her really thirsty. And like at that time, she was like hands all in Ace's hair. So she thinks about his hair a lot, apparently.
I mean, it is one of his best physical features, in my humble opinion.
It's true. Bess is just shocked at how strong she is now that she's in Nick's body.
She's feeling up her biceps. I thought it was realistic that they are all gonna kind of inspect the body a little.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they're doing it respectfully.
Yeah.
And you'd actually texted me while you were watching.
Yeah. I thought it made a statement that nobody had to be like, okay, hey, don't go disrespecting my body. It's not practical that in all that time nobody had to go to the bathroom.
And they might have, but they might have just done their business, and half of them have seen each other naked anyways.
It's true.
Well.
So Nancy and Ace haven't officially.
Nancy has. That's weird.
Yeah.
That is weird. But I'm sure.
But like Nick and George, mm-hmm. and yeah, I don't know.
And well, this is what? Maybe like 5 hours or something? Because it goes through the day, but we get a lot of episode once it gets dark outside, too, once they're already fixed the problem.
Yeah.
So it's feasible that you wouldn't have to go to the bathroom in that 5 to 6 hour period.
Yeah, it
we'll
is.
Let's just go with that.
And the group trusts each other enough that they're not like,
right.
They don't feel that they have to say that.
Correct. There's no awkward bad blood or anything. So.
Yeah.
I think they handled it the best that they could have for the time we had and the rating of the show.
Mm-hmm.
George and Bess. So it's Bess's body. That's how we're going to talk this episode. So in so.
Yes.
They're in them. So George and Bess asks who's in who, which I was very grateful for because I was like, yes, we need to lock this down. And frantically is like, don't eat peanuts. Because she's allergic.
Mm-hmm.
It was very cute that Nick inside George's body knew that already because obviously they were engaged.
Right. Yeah.
This is like my dream episode. It's all character. It's all mm-hmm. character dynamics.
Yep. Ryan is saying, this is not what I ordered. And Bess, in Nick's body, is saying that the only corporeal shifting relic she's heard of is Bennu's diamond. And they're like, well, this is just a pyramid. Nancy's like, well, maybe it attaches to another piece. Ryan goes, Ace is right. And Ace's body says, I'm Nancy. And Ryan's like, how about we all get name tags?
That would have been hilarious if they actually did.
It would have been super helpful for him.
Also, how do you feel about me changing my name to Bennu?
I think maybe test it out.
Bennu.
Yeah.
I love it. And then I could have diamonds.
Yeah.
So it was really fun watching the different actors not only play the different characters, but also have the different roles and responsibilities that those characters normally have.
Mm-hmm.
So it was cool watching Tunji get to be the one that describes the relics, and cool having Madison be the grumpy one. It was just neat having them in these different roles.
Yes.
And Ace is, you know, filling in the gaps where Nancy normally does and all that. I just thought it was really cool.
So Ryan's going to go off to find the other half of the relic, and Nancy in Ace stops him.
He's like, in Ace?
Yeah, in Ace's body. Stops him and says, don't forget Carson's breakfast burritos. Don't let him know anything's up. I don't want him worrying about me, especially not today.
We're reminded that Nick has to give a speech to town council, and Bess in his body is freaking out. She's like, I'm not a politician.
Yeah, and Nick's saying, hey, just read the speech as written. It's a slam dunk. And Bess in Nick's body is like, oh, I guess I should learn some sports metaphors.
And then freaks out when George and Bess's body starts with this chaos. Yeah. George and Bess's body is walking towards the door. It's like, George, where are you taking my body? And George is planning to go meet up with those brothers at the Historical Society to tell them, not today, sirs, not today.
They all trade phones so they have their own phone.
So question about that. I get it, but I also am like, but you're not going to sound like yourself, I guess, for texting purposes. And also, Face ID? Like, you have to know everyone's passwords. Do they all know each other's passwords?
No, they have their own phone, so they would know their own password.
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry. Yeah. So stupid. But the Face ID would not work.
Correct.
So they have to type the password in. That would annoy the heck out of me. My husband and I both have a pair of sunglasses that are the same brand, same style, different colors. One of those pairs of sunglasses, you can use Face ID. The other one, no matter who's wearing it, you can't use Face ID with those sunglasses. Something about the tint on the glass is different than the other color. And it annoys me wearing those sunglasses because I have to type my password. So I can't even imagine a full day of that. Modern problem.
Yeah.
First world problem.
Ace and Nancy in their switch bodies.
Yeah, I like what their scenes, because we could just say Ace and Nancy.
Yeah. They are going to meet with Ace's dad, and we have this little very sweet, minorly heartbreaking moment where Ace in Nancy's body is saying, well, he's going to expect his son to know ASL. And Nancy says, oh, well, I know a little bit, because she started learning when they were starting to kind of explore the possibility of being together so that she would be able to talk with his dad.
Yeah, that's so freaking sweet, because it's not like she needs to know that information to be able to communicate with Ace.
Mm-hmm.
It's so she can communicate with Ace's father and also just get closer to Ace and how he does things and communicates. That's awesome.
Yeah, very sweet, very thoughtful.
We find out she's not very good at it.
She's not very good at it. Yeah, we know Ace's flaw is he can't draw, and Nancy apparently can't. Which you would think she would be better at, because she could memorize photographic memory of what all the signs are and be able to do them.
Ah.
But maybe, I guess.
She say she watched a video?
I don't remember. I think she did watch some videos, yeah.
So maybe she hasn't got very far. Like, maybe she knows the basic things she knows really well.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's not those, like, half a dozen things she's learned, she's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Languages are hard.
They are hard. But because Nancy is not fluent, they have to go together to do this.
And where do they go? They go literally outside the claw, which is one of my favorite locations of the show.
Yes. It's beautiful out there.
God, I want to eat a lobster roll out there so bad.
Yep.
I'd be so happy. I'd wear my new little Nick flannel I got. All right, so they're outside at my favorite set location eating a lobster roll. And Nancy's hesitant to take her mom's locket because people expect to see it on that body, meaning Nancy's body. And Ace very sweetly is like, no, take it. And that was when I was like, I think he knows what day it is.
Mm-hmm.
Which we find out later. So that was kind of cute.
Yeah, that was very sweet of him. And I wasn't sure if he knew what day it was or if he just knows the importance of that and wanted her to have it.
Plays well either way.
Right.
I'm but choosing I think, to take it that he knew what day it was.
Yes. Yes, I agree. Then they're talking with Captain Tom and asking about Jack Ray. Tom says that he arrested him at the yacht club and always thought it was strange that he fled to the water instead of fleeing town. Ace and Nancy's body does a quick little Google search and finds out that the yacht club building used to be town hall when the founders came to Horseshoe Bay in the governance in 1803.
Mm-hmm. And that little Google search is the first like real suspicion the dad has. He's like, why is Nancy the one on the computer when that's Ace's thing? He's not, this stuff is not going to buy him. He knows something is up.
Mm-hmm. And then Nancy in Ace's body is like, oh, Ron was right. I just broke into the wrong town hall. And Tom's like, you did what now?
Broke into where?
And yes, I mean, it makes sense. He was, you know, a detective or police captain. Like he would be very aware of, and he knows his son very well. So he would know, okay, something's up. This is not right.
Mm-hmm. They also said the broken part with their lips. So he read that part. So yeah. It makes sense why he might have missed part of like the location because
mm-hmm.
it wasn't like they signed it for him. So
right.
It was both a shocking like what, but also like he might have missed it. So I kind of liked how that played. And he was arrested in the back of the building across from a fireplace. So like, all right, well, we're going to have to check that out.
Conveniently, Nancy Hudson has a membership to the yacht club. And so she can get in legally.
I, Nancy Hudson, this gal. So funny. The pointing at themselves with the thumbs. Tom asks if he and Ace, quote unquote, can talk alone. Nancy in Ace just smiles and nods because she barely knows sign language and gets the hint to walk away from the table.
No, Nancy's body knew.
What the hell did I say? Did I say the wrong thing?
You said that she got the hint, even though she doesn't know sign language, but Ace would have understood.
Oh, that. Yeah, you're right.
Okay.
We're going to leave that in to show how confusing it was to take notes on this episode.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
So Nancy's body walks away from the table.
Yes. And that leaves Nancy and Ace's body sitting there with Tom, not knowing too much ASL. And Tom is saying that, you know, Ace, you're behaving strangely. You're hanging out with Nancy. You can't seem to focus. And Nancy, as Ace, literally is signing gibberish. And
like a bonk on the head.
And apologizes. Tom asks again about fishing, and she agrees for Ace.
Yeah, which Ace, in Nancy's body, misses because gave a disgusted face from afar at the failed sign language and turns away. So Ace and Nancy's body did not see the agreement for the fishing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he is so happy. Tom is so like heartbreakingly happy that yep. his child agreed to go fishing.
Yes. Because didn't they, after Grant, they kind of, that's when Ace moved out, I think, and they kind of drifted apart.
Bad blood for sure.
Yeah. So he is probably extra happy that they have come back together here.
And then there's just a slew of people giving each other thumbs up.
Yep.
So cute.
And then we go over to some characters who we know exactly who they are. Thank Carson and goodness. Ryan.
Dad number one and dad number two. Let's make it confusing.
So Ryan brought the breakfast burritos and Carson's asking how Nancy's doing if Ryan's talked to her. And Ryan said that she is maintaining and then asked how Carson's doing.
What a good bro.
Yeah. And Carson says that he's okay, but he wants to celebrate Kate. He wants to remember her and celebrate her. And Nancy just wants her mom back.
And Carson says he celebrates Kate in little ways every day, acknowledges that he probably prioritizes Nancy's grieving over his, but that's being a parent.
I love that Ryan validates Carson, like that it isn't just, you're right, it is all about the kids and all that. Like, no, you are grieving too. You need to help yourself. Then Ryan gets a text that someone has the artifact. And so he tells Carson, you know, let me know if you need anything. And he leaves. And Carson is once again so sad alone.
Yep. He looked a little happier there. Like, he looked a little more like, oh, that was a nice moment.
Mm-hmm.
I think Ryan's even like, yeah, let me know if Nancy needs anything. So Ryan's being very supportive.
Yes.
Ugh, back over to the claw. All right. We got George and Bess wanting Nick and George. Jesus. We've got George wanting Nick to trade shoes, which I thought was so funny because George can't walk in Bess's shoes,
mm-hmm.
even though she's got Bess's feet on right now, but expects Nick to be able to walk in the shoes in yep. George's body, which is complicated in a lot of ways because her soul, spirit, whatever, her mind is wanting to put the shoes on her physical body, even though she will then probably have to suffer the pain later when they get this all swapped back. So she did not think this through.
No, this is classic George. Solve the problem in the moment. Let someone else deal with it.
100%.
Yep. And then she realizes she forgot to cancel on Cameron. And Nick, in George's body, convinces George to let him pose as her so that Cameron doesn't think that she's a flake.
So he's going on a date as his ex mm-hmm. with his ex's new love interest.
Mm-hmm.
Love it.
Yes.
Give me more of this.
Yeah. So George gives a quick rundown. Okay. He's 21. He has one sibling. He hates guns. He loves coffee.
I mean, I'm down for that.
Mm-hmm. And Nick and George is like so overconfident. He's like, I know you better than anyone. It's fine. I got this. She's like, okay, well, what do you know about torts? And he was like, I know they're the dessert.
I mean, I bought what he was saying.
Yeah. And then when he goes over, gives like the one arm bro hug. Oh, that was great.
And she just panics in the kitchen. Back over to Nace and Ancy. Hey, I mean, that kind of switches them around.
Yeah, I thought you were just going to go for Nace, because yep. that's them.
We got Nace over at the yacht club, and of course, it is the, what, 1 out of 2 days a month that it's members only, absolutely no guests.
Yeah.
So, Ace's body is not allowed, because he is poor, and he cannot go in there.
Nancy, as Ace, starts fixing her own hair. To make
on her
Nancy's,
body,
yeah, to make Nancy's body presentable, so that her body can go in and find the black door alone.
I love that one of the greatest episodes of this series is going to be one of the messiest episodes of our podcast.
This is terrible. Oh, all right. So then we go over to George and Bess's body at the Historical Society. Luke and Matthew Galley come in, and she quickly, like, whisk them away because there's other people in the Historical Society.
Some other rando dude.
Yeah.
And I was worried I missed something there, but I'm glad that we got that figured out.
Yeah. And she's like, okay, sorry, can't help. This is going to have to wait. And they're like, no, it can't wait. I love this, that he hears the voice of Aristotle, who we know from 2 seasons ago, mm-hmm. in season 2, saying that he doesn't like all the dust here. And then that is enough for George to, like, really click and, like, you really do hear these voices.
Which, seeing it is believing it. But also, George, you didn't think it was made up. Like, you know on paper that all this stuff is real. I think right. she just wanted to detach because she wanted yes. to just move on.
Yes.
But then she goes even further and starts empathizing with family drama, basically. And she's mm-hmm. like, oh, well, my mom. And so then she's like, well, I guess I need to help these people.
So she decides to bring them back to the claw. Before she gets there, we see the study date going on. Torts, am I right?
They're not right. They're not right at all.
Cameron suggests that they move on to liability since George kicked his ass in that subject. And Nick is George is like, oh, yeah, well, that's like a whole other session. And Cameron's like, okay, you tell me when and where. I'll be there.
So sweet.
The way Nick is looking Cameron like up and down when Cameron's talking about his coffee or George's coffee order. And he's just like, oh my God, it was so well done. He's just like, what is this guy? What are his intentions?
Yeah. Because while they're ex, they're still like besties.
Yeah.
And he wants what's best for her.
Mm-hmm.
So cute. And I 100% stand now by not wanting those two to get back together.
I agree. I think they are flourishing now that they aren't. I think they were trying to just grasp. I think they genuinely did love and care about each other.
Sure.
But it was George thought she was dying. Nick was trying to find a new place
mm-hmm.
in his life. And they gravitated together. But now they are able to. Yeah, they are definitely better as friends, I think. I love Cameron's whole talk about, look at you. You're running a business. You're raising your sisters. You're taking pre-law and taking names. I want to be able to say I knew you when. And like Nick sees how genuinely this guy cares about her.
And also how he took notes on her life. No, I'm just kidding. He listened.
And how this guy is valuing what's important to George.
Yeah. That's a good call out. Then we go over to town hall and I get nervous. Because yes. I love Bess. And Bess is good at so many things. But this is not something Bess has ever done before. And one of the big storylines of this season is this town hall, town against the Historical Society stuff. I'm like, oh, don't mess this up.
Mm-hmm. I think it was fantastic that she's giving the speech and says that she would be honored and proud to be on the town council.
Glad you caught that. She did word for word of his thing, but added her little words too.
Yes.
I'm glad she added it and didn't take out his honor.
I agree. It shows that she respected what he said, but she also thinks she knows better. Bess, in Nick's body, sits down and is like very self-conscious, like crosses legs and oh no, I can't do that and all that. And then Kelly Farquhar.
I hate her.
Of course. We all hate her.
She just shows up. She stood up and I don't even think she opened her mouth yet. I was like, no. Clearly evil is what it says on my paper. She sounds like a Shrek villain. Farquhar. Right?
Lord Farquhar. That's all I could think of. Huffed and he puffed and he signed an eviction notice.
So she was born and raised Horseshoe Bay.
Oh,
like
yay.
That should matter. She's a proud mom of two sons. Like that should matter. And she gendered her children. Why can't you just be like, I'm a loving mother of children in this community. Why you gotta tell us you're a boy mom? It annoyed the hell out of me.
Kelly Farquhar asked Nick his thoughts on the Historical Society.
I'm sorry. I have one more complaint about her.
That's fine.
I paused hoping you would do it. So after she introduces herself, the crowd claps and she gives the fakest little humble, oh, thank you. I was like, no.
Yeah, she's down. Terrible.
Sorry, back to Farquhar.
No, you're fine. I don't know if he mentioned it. She's a spokesperson for the families and for truth and history. And she asks Nick about his thoughts on the Historical Society. And very diplomatically, Bess as Nick replies that it is vital for our history. And she's like, well, tell that to the young boy who is brainwashed by the extremist who is now running it. Will you prioritize this town over the dangerous whims of Bess Marvin, who has no regards for our citizens?
And this was so heavy and so layered because she's talking smack to this person's face, not knowing it's this to this person's brain, not knowing it's this person's brain. And Bess has to like say the right thing. But say the right thing as Nick to still get Nick the position, but also stand up for herself. Mm-hmm. Whew, the stress.
And I think she nailed it. You know, she starts, the British accent slips out there, but catches herself and then says that we all want the same thing, to live in a town that is safe, and that will be my priority, which was great. I think that is the same thing Nick would have said.
Agree. Cut over to outside the yacht club. Where we have a very impatient Nancy inside of Ace making a prank call to get the front person out of the building so they can sneak on in.
Being Cornelius Gold, yacht ran out of power and is careening towards your dock. Oh no, she's pouring the water bottle. Oh, we're taking on water.
Hilarious, but also like, that's a big deal.
That really is.
Like, that person could have tripped running out there because that's like an emergency. Like, the building's going to get destroyed.
And then Alex
Why
does...
Why did she run out there? I would have been evacuating people out the back.
I mean, I guess just to see. Yeah. No,
Was
I don't know.
Was she going to catch it with her hands?
Yeah, that's a good point. Alex does such an amazing job impersonating Nancy's run here as Nancy and Ace's body runs to...
Oh, I didn't even think... It must have been perfect because I didn't even catch it.
Oh, yeah. It was great.
That's awesome.
Very much like the opening scene where she's running out of the town hall.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So we always watch it twice, once for fun and once to take notes. And I did definitely catch things the second time. I feel like this is one where I would even catch third and fourth.
Oh, yeah.
They get in there. They start, you know, getting all into their personal issues about how if there was any other day or no, yeah. how it'd be easy to or to be in any other body.
Right. I don't know why they have limited time in here. They do find that there's this banister from the governance. It's ending and it's back by the fireplace. And Ace picks that time to point out they're doing a terrible job with the space that they asked for.
And they get kicked out.
Yeah.
Should we go ahead and take a break?
Yeah, let's go ahead and take a break. We will be right back.
Hey, we are back from our break. George is in Bess's body taking the bros to the claw. And I love the disgruntled pointing. It was very George.
Mm-hmm.
Just like emphatically like go over there.
Yeah, go to the locker room. And then tells Cameron that she needs to borrow George for a minute. Nick as George is so flirty with the hand on Cameron's arm. I'll be right back. I could never see George acting like that.
No, not at all. Yeah, Nick was more into the date than George probably would have been.
Yeah. They step aside and Nick tells George that Cameron's a great guy and I think he really likes you. And you could see George and Bess being like, oh, really? And then like snapping that we don't have time for this.
Which is true, actually.
Yes. So you need to get rid of Cameron. And Nick's like, okay, well, I just need to tell him when and where you have another date.
And George and Bess notices the guy from the Historical Society is now at the claw. And so it's probably followed her there.
Yeah. And then outside the claw, walking in, Nancy and Ace apologizes for being impatient.
Not myself today. No crud. None of you are yourselves today. That's the whole point of the episode. But also goes to the whole thing about her mother.
Right. Which is funny because that's probably all she was thinking about.
Right.
Not about the body swap.
It was just funny because it was a body swap episode. Ryan calls Ace and Nancy. Ryan calls Ace. He found the other half of Benu's diamond. My diamond, Benu.
They go into the locker room and tell the Galley brothers to wait for Bess. Bess and Nick comes in and says that the speech got mixed results, but the Families for Truth and History did publicly announce their disdain for Bess Martin.
It's great how the brothers are just going with all of this. They're like, we're confused, but one of us is cursed, so we're not going to question whatever y'all got going on. We'll deal with it later. Just fix us.
Yeah, they literally say, no, we don't have time for this.
They get a sealed container. Nancy and Ace offers to drop it in the ocean later as Ace, because Ace has now been assigned to go fishing.
I do love that before they even start, they confirm with Bess that she does still want to do it. Like that she doesn't want to take a break from the supernatural after just hearing all this from the FFTH. So I thought that was really great support.
Good call. Yeah.
But she, of course, wants to.
She goes ahead and is going to do the ritual and to keep an eye on table 10 because the FFTH spy is sitting there.
Yeah. So Nancy and Ace's body goes out to keep an eye. And
my heart shatters into a million pieces.
Yeah. Here's an order for grilled cheese and fried pickles and says, oh, that's my mom's. And then turns and sees Carson, remembers that she's in Ace's body and has a little conversation with Carson about saying that Nancy shared that this was Kate's favorite meal and talked about the birthday cake fights. And
so obviously she knows all of this information because she is Nancy. But I like to believe that she probably did share at least some of that with Ace.
Yeah.
So Ace would have actually known some of that. That's just my headcanon right now.
Mm-hmm.
But either way, you see Carson just really appreciating, one, getting to like hear and cute things about Kate, but also being like, oh, Nancy talked about her.
I think this was the perfect and necessary interaction because it allowed Nancy to view Carson actually grieving and not hiding it from his daughter.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. Because he mentioned earlier, like, he's looking out for her. And here, he's just in a place by himself. And
yeah.
One of her friends is there, but he can be himself.
Yeah.
None of the rest of them can be themselves, but he can. I think Alex Saxon crushed this scene.
Yes. Carson says that he's glad that Nancy's sharing the happy memories because he's worried that she's only holding on to the sad ones. And then takes off. And there's a flash of light in the back. And Nancy, in Ace's body, says, the lobster must have gotten out again, and goes to the back.
I'm picturing just this massive lobster that they've been trying to cook all day, which is very sad and morbid, but also hilarious.
But also, why the flash of bright light?
Right. I mean, I thought it was actually a pretty quick, like, reasonable reason for a crash in a lobster restaurant.
Yeah, yeah.
But yes, the light made no sense. What are they supposed to say? Oh, someone's got a flashlight and the lobster got out. Yeah. Like, what are they?
Someone's, like, doing a photo shoot of it. Yeah.
Of killing a lobster.
It's not, like, a happy photo shoot.
So, the curse has been pickled. That was such a, like, side part of this whole episode that I love that we don't even deal with. We don't even see the ritual. They just handle it, which is my kind of story. Put the plot to the side. Just keep the character stuff moving. Kidding, kidding. This is the plot. And then the brothers are relieved and grateful. Ryan shows up with the other half, with both halves of the diamond. And we get this really sweet moment of Nick, George, and Bess all switched up in each other's bodies, appreciating each other, saying, you know, you were a great body swapped wingman. It's weird being you, a good weird.
Okay. So George in Bess's body thanks Nick for what he did with Cameron and says that their next study date is dinner, no books. When did that happen?
Maybe just
like internally. Just via text.
Or maybe she's like, well, I'm just going to make that happen.
Oh, I like that better. Okay.
Yeah. There was no time.
Unless Nick, like, as George, was like, okay, well, we're going to go meet at this place. And
no, I think it was just like, I got the confidence I needed. I got the approval for my ex and my friend that I needed. And I'm letting myself believe this person likes me. So, you know what? We'll just do a real date.
Okay.
We don't need to disguise the date with studying.
Yeah. And I love as Bess's body is talking to George's body. Bess in Nick's body is like behind looking so gleeful because she's always meddling and right in the middle and so happy for everyone. And it was great to see Nick's body doing that.
Oh, see, I need to watch it a third time. I so missed that good. One.
Meanwhile, Nancy and Ace just look at each other.
They say nothing.
Nothing.
And Ryan is like waiting for them to say something. He's like, all right, cool. So anyways, and he's like, so should we put down a pad? But the diamonds connect before he even has a chance to do that. And they all pass out again.
Yeah. He turns around. They're just all on the floor.
Concussed. No big deal.
So funny. We come back from commercial and they all wake up. Ace says we should have put down pads.
And Nancy's Nancy again. Whew. Which will make the end of this podcast a lot easier to say because we won't have to talk about bodies no more. They're all themselves. Nick is happy to be tall once again. Bess is mortified at George destroying her shoes. I would be furious.
I would be furious. I would be like, you are buying me new ones. She probably stole them to begin with, but still.
She stole for a very limited time.
It hasn't even been a year since the show started.
That's true.
So these could have been stolen shoes and she has bought more since
that
then.
Is wild. I mean, I know as soon as they talked about the anniversary of Kate Drew passing away, like that was very clearly like, hey, reminder, it has not been a year.
Yeah.
There's been so many monsters and lovers and crazy shenanigans.
Oh, yeah.
All right. And broken shoes.
Nick asked Bess about the speech. And she says, it was great, but there was one curveball. Did I use that right? And he nods. And she's like, nice. And then she leaves. And he's like, what was it?
Just so proud of her sports reference. And we get a beautifully shot scene. Mm-hmm. My goodness. There are mountains over the freaking, what is this, a lake? Is this a lake?
Isn't it the bay?
This is a bay.
It's Horseshoe Bay.
So a bay is not a lake. A bay is an ocean.
A and a tort is.
All right. Anyways, we get the water. The sun is setting, but there's mountains because it's a bay. So, you know, there's another side of it. A Benet is like a peninsula, but water version.
Okay. That sounds really close to bidet.
Anyways, this shot was beautiful, and it's Nancy and Ace looking out over the water.
Ace says, you know what I keep thinking about? She says, the banister of the yacht club. And he's like, yep, because they are on the same wavelength. And she's like, you know, it closes early tonight.
So let's go break in. And yeah. He offers her a ride and gives the necklace back. And this is where we find out that he knows that it's the anniversary.
And he said that he just wanted to be here for her. And she genuinely thanks him. And then she's like, you're not allowed to be mad at me, but you're going fishing tonight.
So it cuts over to the break-in. I'm like, how much episode is left here? What are we getting into? Because the big premise is done. So I got really excited to see where this was going to go.
Yeah.
Nancy breaks in and Ace is outside on lookout with their little walkie-talkies. She touches a skull on the banister. And what do we get?
A hidden staircase.
That's a Nancy Drew book.
It is.
And a movie. And an episode of this TV show.
Yeah. And it leads to a secret basement where she finds a whole bunch of belongings from the Governance. So the Governance is the same boat that brought the founders over. So the Hudsons, the Marvins, and Odette was on this boat and was killed on this boat.
Poor Odette.
And she sees a statue hanging from the ceiling, recognizes it as a figurehead of the Governance. There are references to breathing life into the eater of burdens.
And she figures out from an impression in the ground that the monster, that albino crab monster, was created in that room.
The comms are kind of breaking up there.
Yeah, that's your cue to run.
Right.
Get the heck out of there.
And there's a mirror with words that appear. I seek to put the past behind, so pay I must, but I will find. My trespass, it will swallow whole, this burden erased from my soul.
And that little mirror turns into, dun, 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 the black door.
And that statue starts shrieking.
And as did I.
Yep. And Nancy doesn't just immediately run like I would have. She breaks into the cabinet and starts stealing books and then runs out.
There's so many books. She blindly grabs books.
Yeah.
Which I guess she's like, I'm getting something from this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure people will figure out that someone was down there now, but whatever.
I wonder how often people are actually going down there. If it's like one sin per, that would be eight, I guess, one sin per body. Or if it's like, does a lot and then purges it into, I don't know.
Yeah, valid. I have no idea. Well, the door fades as she runs out. We go over to the crew. They're all getting filled in on what happened. And Nancy believes that the scream was an alarm to summon the monster.
And she thinks that the ritual started and the monster would have been summoned if she had spoken her sin. And they think that it probably has protectors since it's hidden under the yacht club. Someone knows about it and is keeping an eye out.
So, hey, if we can't stop people from using the door, why not just destroy the monster?
And fortunately, Nick is going through the books and finds the steps and ingredients the founders used to create the monster and its name, Sin Eater.
Gobble, gobble. Nancy gets a message from Carson about he's finishing up with a client and he will meet her for dinner. It feels so insanely late to me because they just had this entire adventure. I'm an early eater. I'm like an 80-year-old who eats at 4:30, 5 o'clock for dinner. That's 5 o'clock, 5:15. Like,
yeah.
So them going to go have dinner when it's nighttime and they already broke into a thing after it was dark. I'm like, this is too late. Like, yeah. What are you doing? Meeting for dessert? Meeting for a nightcap?
Like, well, they are meeting for dessert.
Oh, there's no dinner. I just thought they were going to eat too.
Oh, well, they started with cake.
What was George carrying? Was she carrying the cake?
No, she had hot pads.
She had something.
I don't know. Warm cake? Maybe it was a tort.
Maybe it wasn't worked. Anyways, Nancy gives Ace the curse jar and tells him to drop it in the ocean.
He's like, way to lock me into fishing. And she takes this moment where she is right. that is good to go and make these memories while you still have a chance. Felt a little bit like guilting.
Oh, it was 100%
manipulation.
But also, yeah. And I think it's a good reminder to like value the things. There are toxic families and toxic relationships that you should not be around for your own safety and all of that. And you should not force things because people are sick or dying or whatever. But Ace and his father don't have that kind of relationship. So it's just a matter of like, you should spend time with him while you can.
Yes.
And so he's like, oh, fine. So he goes to go do that because she says memories are all you're left with. And I cry again. And at that point, the tears are just like waiting. They're just mm-hmm. there. They're mm-hmm. on my eyes. They're falling out my eyes. They're coming up from inside.
After Ace leaves, Nancy tells Nick, George, and Bess about her mom. And talks about how she never relied on anyone besides her parents until they created this little family. And that she is terrified that she doesn't think she could survive losing another person she loves.
And they all go to her and they all hug.
I love that Nick is the one confirming that they are a family and they're always there for her.
Mm-hmm. And then it's almost ruined by my new least favorite character.
Callie Farquhar.
Lurking outside.
How'd she know Nick was there? Like, did she follow him there?
I don't know. She's outside and she's like, hey, good job today. We were testing you.
Yeah, he's a new town council member. He got it.
Well, he turned it down and he wants to keep the town safe from people like her. Yes,
yeah. Nick. Keep it safe from people who'd want to take away our free will, our books, our rights.
I love him so much.
And he wants to focus on that fight. And Callie Farquhar says, you're making a big mistake. And Nick's like, yeah, well, it wouldn't be my first.
And then we get this ominous shot of her just looking evil.
So she's got to have something that she's done, right? She's got to have some history in the supernatural.
Probably. She was probably Chief Lovett's witchy lesbian lover that got erased.
Maybe.
I'm just saying, the people who are like, this is bad, this is bad, sometimes it's because they did it too and they're ashamed of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just saying, they don't have to be lesbians, but I did think in the previous episode that Lovett was up to some mythical things, and that was her leave that she had.
Yeah.
Anyways, off to a boat. Tom is so happy. He's so blissfully happy.
So happy. And saying that he's glad he thought that Ace would cancel after the last time that was such a disaster.
But it was memorable, which yeah. is what Nancy was talking about.
Which means that he took her words to heart and wasn't like just guilted into going, like realized the value of going.
Mm-hmm. And Tom's like, you don't have to talk to me. I just like fishing with you.
Yeah. And Ace does open up a little bit and says that him and Nancy didn't work out. They tried to stay apart, but they can't. It hurts, but they are better when they're together.
Which cues the dad to grab some cookies, which sound delicious in this moment. And Ace is like, okay, great. I can drop this jar in the ocean because I clearly can't do that while he's watching.
Yeah. So he drops that cursed jar and it lights up and a big wave splashes. And I was like, oh my God, is Ace going to die?
Yeah. Did the jar cause the wave?
Mm-hmm.
So does that mean there's this curse in the ocean now?
I think that was like the pressurizing or whatever.
Okay.
And that was supposed to destroy or contain the curse.
Okay, good. I was concerned that we're going to have some cursed lobsters now hearing dead people. Oh. Anyways, they kind of fall over on the boat. They laugh. They hug. It is very adorable.
Yes.
And then we can skip this next scene because I don't know if I can get through it. Kidding. Carson comes home to music and people cooking. At least I thought it was cooking because George was running around carrying
yes,
something.
Yes, yeah, I thought so too.
But they do start with cake.
Nancy tells him that he was right, that this is what mom would have wanted and this is, you know, what they should do to celebrate her.
I watched this episode before you. Were you glad I warned you about the tears?
Very, very glad.
Did
I
you
was
hydrate?
Able to keep it together.
I was not. I was home alone and I was just ugly crying for like 5 minutes after the episode ended. Nancy admits that happy memories are somehow even harder to hold than the sad memories. And that's very powerful. Because if you remember the sad ones or the bad ones, you have feelings that match what you're supposed to feel about that.
Yeah.
If you remember the happy ones, you're happy, but you're also feeling loss at not being able to get more of those.
Right.
So it's a very complicated thing, and it's really sweet that they put it into words like this.
Yes. While they're having a moment there, Nick is in the kitchen telling Bess that he turned down the council seat. He wants to take on the FFTH his way.
Grimslang Nick is back.
And he says, let's open up a new historical society. It's going to operate in secret outside the law and use an empty rental space in this building. And George is like, as your unofficial lawyer, do I want to know about this? I love that she is in her first semester at law school. And they've all just accepted, like, yes, she is our unofficial lawyer. This is how it is. But George is in. She doesn't care what she has to lose. She wants to be a part of this.
Those three together were giving me so much life this episode. Mm-hmm. Very excited for the rest of their journey this season. Well, Ryan shows up and he's like, sorry to interrupt. I know this is all about family. And Carson is like, basically, you are family.
Yeah, you're stuck with us. So come here. And then Ryan gets a text from Red. She says that Jonas and Shelby Glass sent him the diamond.
I figured that. You figured that, right?
I don't think so. I think that Red sent it.
Oh.
I think she is playing a game to try and turn him against the glasses to try and take the glasses out. Because she says in the text that she traced the seller ID. Why didn't Nancy and Ace do that when they needed to figure it out? I don't know. I don't think it was them.
I could see that.
Because also, this was a pretty tame thing.
Yeah. It wasn't dangerous.
Yeah.
I mean, it could have been. Depending on who he got swapped with or what happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was more of a, got you.
Yeah. So I think Red did it. Knowing that it wouldn't really. And knowing that the other piece of the diamond was readily available.
Yeah.
Red, so she knew it wouldn't readily available. She's the one that had it.
Readily. Yeah. Yeah, no, I buy that. I love that. I was not looking that into it. I think for me, a lot of, like, knowing that the show's ending, there's, what, 5 more episodes?
Mm-hmm.
And so knowing that the show's ending, I'm like, well, we do have to wrap it up with the glasses. So I am just taking a lot at face value because we need to wrap things up. So, like, if Red is also causing issues, she then needs to get dealt with, and the glasses need to get dealt with, which the way the show works, both of those could get dealt with in the same 10 minutes of the show.
Yeah.
100%. But my guard is down because I'm like, oh, it's the glasses, because that's what we've already been given and there's only 5 episodes left.
Okay.
That's where I was coming from. But now that you've said it, I think you are too. But watching, I'm not looking for more problems. Yeah. I'm looking for the problems to get fixed. But I think you're right.
Nancy tells him not to start a war with the glasses, and Ryan says it's kind of too late.
Carson's like, hey, that's not what we're here for. Come over to the table.
Yeah. Everyone has a piece of cake.
I wanted that cake so bad.
It looked really good.
Those yellow flowers looked fire.
Nancy gives a speech about, you know, if her mom was here, what she would say. I love... try to get through this without crying.
Yeah, I'm not going to look at you.
Love that she says that her mom would tell an embarrassing story because she loves to make my dad blush. She said loves, not loved.
Yeah,
I thought that was a really great little touch. Talks about how she wished she had a normal, or she thought she wanted a normal day, but life's not normal. My mom wasn't. She was silly and playful and funny and full of joy. And there was a family tradition, and she slaps Carson in the face with a piece of cake. And Ryan was like, oh.
And then they all have a cake fight, and it is one of the cutest scenes ever.
Yeah.
It was just so genuine. And I'm watching it for face value, but I'm also watching it with the lens of, like, these people have worked together for 4 years. Mm-hmm. They all probably have their own little inner connected relationships now, their own, like, things with each other. So it was kind of them, like, celebrating too in a way. So I'm sobbing. You summed that up. Let's move on. So after showering, Nancy showered. I blew my nose and wiped my face. Nancy showered. She is at the murder board. Her hair is all wet. So I liked that detail because cake was everywhere.
Right. And she gets a call from Ace and he thanks her for making him go fishing. And she thanks him for being there today.
He says, I'm a better person with you in my life.
And she says, I'm not happy without you in mine.
Then they just say goodnight, get off the phone. And she goes and updates the murder board. And now it no longer says the thing about the black door that it did in the beginning of the episode. It says, how do we kill Sin Eater? A plus episode.
Beautiful episode. Ooh, we went a lot quicker in the second half where we didn't have to think about who's in whose body. Who are we talking about?
As did my note taking physically.
Yeah. Yep.
Go faster. Sarah, do you have anything for What's Old Nancy Drew, where you talk about book or video game references?
Just that this was, I mentioned last episode, but The Crooked Bannister is episode 48. It was, book 48, sorry. It was very different. It was like this mansion that had there was like Raleigh Bannister lived there, but you never meet him. And he developed like this crooked Bannister, but there was also a robot that tried to kill them. It was very complicated book.
Oh, wow.
Nothing about Sin Eaters in there, but I love the reference.
Nice. All right. How the hell are we going to do MVP for this? Do you have it figured out? Mine is blank. I have nothing.
Yeah, no, I have no idea because I think it has to be everyone.
Yes, I was actually going to say, for me, the MVP is everyone who worked on this episode.
Yes.
Like, the effort that the actors put into learning all the mannerisms, the writers had to really keep everything straight here, and then, of course, all of the other pieces of production.
Yeah.
Like, I just thought it was top-notch. I think the things that if I really, really had to pick one person, I was probably most impressed with Nick as Bess, the two people I've been picking a lot lately.
Bess as Nick.
What?
Bess as Nick. Nick's
yes.
body.
Sorry, I was thinking Nick as in the actor. I was most impressed with Tunji. I was most impressed with Tunji playing Bess.
Agreed.
Because he had the hardest thing, I think. But all of them.
I think if I go back through. So, like, I was thinking back. I was like, Nick did such a great job on the date with Cameron. But that was the actress who plays George. So, yeah. I don't know. I am giving it to everyone.
Yeah.
And I'm giving Super Sleuth to all of them as well. Because it's too hard.
Yeah, we can't this episode.
Everybody pulled their weight and did what they needed to do. Like, I guess Ryan went and got the other part of the diamond. So he did fix his whole thing.
Yeah.
But everyone, you know, hold their weight for everything.
Mm-hmm. All helping each other. It was very much a helping each other. You know, if I had to do Super Sleuth, entertaining is impossible. If I had to do Super Sleuth, maybe Nancy grabbing all that stuff in the basement under pressure.
Yeah, she that was smart.
Definitely
yeah.
The most helpful for the season long thing. Mm-hmm. And for the episode specific stuff, they all helped each other.
Yeah.
Sarah, what is the next episode?
So next episode, episode 9, The Memory of the Stolen Soul.
Ooh. Thank you all so much for listening. Hope you enjoyed us stumbling over the this person and this person, yada yada of the episode. We're having a lot of fun with this season. Until next time, keep on sleuthing.
Bye. I'm Sarah.
I'm Jake.
And we invite you to join us on the Gotham Knights Watch podcast for a weekly recap and discussion of the CW show Gotham Knights.
Gotham Knights follows Bruce Wayne's adopted son and his unlikely friends who are accused of killing the Caped Crusader.
The world's greatest detective may be gone, but we will dig up any clues that we can along the way.
Help us solve this mystery and tune in to the Gotham Knights Watch podcast.